This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Idea Park, a new media agency nurturing online relationships between you and your most valuable customers. Online at ideapark.com.
Nail nibbling to the numbers.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. The next big decision on interest rates won't come until tomorrow's Federal Reserve meeting, but the markets are already watching the radar to get the jump on things. A couple of new blips will be showing up on the screen this morning. Further evidence of a housing slump is expected in today's report on the number of new homes started last month. Economists expect a 3% drop. They're also anticipating a rise of about 0.2% in the producer price index. Most say that inflation factor shouldn't be enough to cause Fed policymakers to go back to raising interest rates. It seems to be wait-and-see time on Wall Street until the Fed sets the tone for trading the rest of the week. The index has barely budged yesterday. The Dow dropped 5 points, shaving off a tiny fraction of a percent. The Nasdaq was up just a hair, virtually flat, really. And the S&P 500 was up a tenth to 1321. Hank Paulson has arrived in eastern China on his first visit there as U.S. Treasury Secretary. He's warned against high expectations for his four-day visit to the communist country. And Jocelyn Ford reports this is a tough time to try to even out the huge trade imbalance between the U.S. and China.
China is turning protectionist. That's the concern of the foreign business community here. Beijing-based corporate lawyer Michael Darzinski.
Foreign investors in China have seen over the last year or so a lot of new regulations that seem to have an economic sort of protectionist component to them.
For example, China has slapped limits on foreign investment in real estate and made it harder to buy Chinese companies. It's also restricted foreign news agencies from selling information directly to clients.
There's an increasing concern that there's an economic nationalism sort of focus from the Chinese central government.
Paulson will try to nudge China to continue opening its economy, but he's walking the high wire. He also faces protectionist sentiment back in Washington. Some members of Congress have promised to hold a vote on legislation that would tax every item imported from China. That's if Paulson's nudging Chinese authorities doesn't work. In Beijing, I'm Jocelyn Ford for Marketplace.
The song says you better not pout if you hope to do well over the holidays, but retailers might have a reason to frown, a prediction that growth in holiday sales won't measure up to last year. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Retailers are dependent on that green holiday spirit, and I'm not talking about trees. Ellen Davis with the National Retail Federation, or NRF, says the holiday season accounts for 20% of all retail sales. Today, her group released their 2006 forecast.
This year, NRF is expecting 5% holiday growth. That's down slightly from last year's 6.1%, but it's still higher than average.
That means consumers will spend almost $460 billion. Still, retail industry analyst Richard Hastings agrees this reflects a slow in growth.
The housing market, more than anything else, is what is influencing this feeling that people need to start being a little bit more careful.
Sectors dependent on holiday shoppers could feel this most, like book and sporting good outlets. And, of course, jewelry stores. A full third of their sales come in November and December. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
The LA Times reports the Fox movie studio is launching a new division. It'll be called Fox Faith and will focus on Christian entertainment. This is Marketplace. High over the Mojave Desert today, the Air Force will make a bit of history. It'll be testing a new alternative jet fuel. The Pentagon hopes to cut its costs. Jason Parr reports the private sector will also be watching.
The B-52 bomber will be running two of its eight engines on a blend of jet fuel made partly from natural gas. Today's test is for the Air Force, but aviation expert Richard Gritta says commercial airlines will be eyeing the results as they look to cut their own fuel costs.
The industry has always looked to the military. They develop new materials, which of course then get incorporated in new planes, which make them more efficient. So there's no question in my mind that they're going Force does.
Burning more than 3 billion gallons of jet fuel a year, the Air Force accounts for more than 50% of the federal government's fuel bill. It says the goal is to save money and reduce dependency by getting half its fuel from alternative sources by 2016. I'm Jason Parr from Marketplace.
Produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by the Medtronic Foundation, supporting communities through grant-making, volunteers, employee giving, and creative partnerships. The Medtronic Foundation. Medtronic.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Bob Moon. Social networking sites are big money. Market leader MySpace currently boasts over 100 million users. Last month, Google made a deal for ad placements on the service, guaranteeing $900 million in revenue in return. Even Martha Stewart is moving to connect her fork and trowel-wielding followers in a women's network by 2007. But social networking could be used in even more revolutionary ways, so says consultant and commentator Paul Lamb.
So far, social networking is mostly for the young and digitally restless. But what about a MySpace for the rest of us? Some of us outside the teen to 20-something crowd want to be connected, too. Take that elderly neighbor who needs help moving furniture. What if seniors could access a local, internet-based social network using only a telephone to ask for help? The technology already exists. Someone just needs to take the lead. More internet-savvy neighbors could voluntarily exchange online profiles and learn about common interests, swap services like babysitting or dog watching, or explore small business opportunities with people nearby. What about a school-based social network where students, teachers, and the community match school assignments, activities, or needs with individuals both inside and outside the school who can help? On the social services front, you could offer an online and phone service allowing an abused spouse or person recently released from prison to be linked immediately to a variety of temporary housing, counseling, and employment opportunities in their area. They could find out what services are available and who best to talk to in real time before they even show up at a social service agency. The market opportunity outside of the youth and professional social networking space is clear. More than half of the 86 million Americans over the age of 50 are online. That over 50 crowd controls two-thirds of the nation's wealth. Ads related to locally focused internet searches could become a $6 billion market within 5 years. But designers of social networking need to be thinking beyond the text messaging, PDA, and iPod sporting set. The real challenge is making the technology accessible to everyone. Social networking could do better by being socially acceptable for us all. Whichever venture capitalist figures that out first will be positioned to reap both the spiritual satisfaction and the monetary rewards.
Paul Lamb is a management consultant for nonprofit organizations in Vallejo, California. And this final note, the recent drop in gas prices has filling stations behaving in ways we haven't seen in a long time. Yesterday, the U.S. Energy Information Administration said the average price for a gallon of gas is a hair under $2.50. The drop has triggered price wars in some local areas. In Virginia, the president of Petroleum Convenience and Grocery Association tells USA Today, traders who before were racing to see how high they could take prices are now racing to see how low they can go. And in Los Angeles, I'm Bob Moon. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
It's not a new idea. Policies create.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.